This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawera Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Kopatai Port Chalmers, or Sawyers Bay, and I'm joined from, I don't know where she is, let's go for Otutahi Christchurch, Mawera Karatai.
Got it, Sam. How's it going?
I'm going very well indeed. Did you know that Port Chalmers was named by your ancestor?
Yes, I did, and I loved living there, and my poa used to have the George Hotel, and so we've spent so much time in Port Chalmers as kids, so we always kind of wanted to go live there again, and we lived in Constitution Street.
It's big tides, isn't it? Because it was,
yeah.
He slept in a cave and his waka got washed away.
Yeah, that happens.
Who are we introducing today?
It is my great pleasure to introduce one of our Masters of Business specialising in international business, the amazing Michael Booth. Michael, it is a joy to have you with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me here today. It's really exciting.
Where did you grow up, Michael?
So I'm Auckland born and raised. I lived there the first 18 years of my life throughout primary school, secondary school, all in the same house in Auckland. Eastern Bays area, Kohimarama, St Heliers. And then I've been down here in Dunedin for the last 4 years doing university at the University of Otago. Really come to love Dunedin as a small little student city. Everything's so nice and walkable, which I love compared to Auckland, where you can sit in traffic for forever and feel like you're getting nowhere.
What was it like growing up in Auckland?
It was good, I guess. I come from a fairly small family. I'm a bit of an only child, so it's been quite different for me coming into like a student hall where you're constantly surrounded by people and friends, and even living in the small sort of section of Dunedin, North Dunedin, where all of the students are, you know, it's just a couple of suburbs of pretty much nothing but students where you can constantly go and walk around to your friends' houses, and there's always a lot going on, which I found has been the sort of biggest difference for me.
And what did you want to be when you grew up?
Ooh, I've had a few different, I guess, iterations of what I wanted to be throughout my life. Like, I remember when I was 3 or 4, proudly telling my family that I wanted to be a paleontologist because I loved dinosaurs, and then getting into physics and wanting to go and work in that field when I was maybe year 9, year 10, and then getting more into politics and diplomacy at the age of, say, 16, 17, and maybe wanting to pursue a career in diplomacy. And now I've sort of come to realize that I think the life that I want to chase is something entrepreneurial.
What did you do for your undergrad?
So I did a Bachelor of Commerce majoring in PPE. That's philosophy, politics, and economics. It's one sort of interdisciplinary major where you get to do a bit of everything. And that's something that I think my mum suggested it to me actually when I was 14 or 15. And I kind of didn't give it much credence until it came time to apply for university. And I went, hang on, actually, I've really enjoyed studying economics at high school and really did well on it. I quite enjoy politics and keeping up with current events, and I find philosophy quite interesting. I could very happily study this and get a pretty well-rounded qualification out of it.
And now you're doing a master's of business, but in particular, you're doing a paper in, I've forgotten what it's called, current issues and sustainable something somethings.
Contemporary issues and sustainable.
That business. Sounds That's like the thing. You had a lot of things you could choose from. Why did you choose that one to include?
This specific paper? Ooh. I think, as much as I have to do a lot of the sort of generic management sort of papers for my degree, this one really stuck out as something that might interest me a little bit more. I've been interested in sustainability a lot, specifically when I was a younger kid in primary school. And it's something that I haven't really engaged with as much in my more recent years. Now, I did another paper in sustainability last semester, thoroughly enjoyed it. So that kind of reinforced in my head the decision that, yeah, I want to do this paper this semester as well.
You'll be going back to paleontology soon.
Going full circle, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So what was it that interested – can you remember what it was that interested you when you were a kid?
Ooh, maybe not specifically. I remember we had a lot of talks at primary school about growing issues in sustainability, like climate change and loss of biodiversity and things to do with the water cycle. And I remember getting super into it. You know, whenever I had to do a sort of speech at school, I'd do something on that topic. And I remember doing a lot of other projects around during high school in my earlier years, learning about ecosystems, and particularly like biology or chemistry, learning about maybe the role that, say, mussels play in water systems and cleaning and purifying water. That's one thing that really stood out to me in particular, coming from Auckland, where we used to go out into the harbour all the time and go fishing. Learning that, hang on, there's been a lot of dredging that's gone on in the Auckland Harbour, and that's caused, you know, a lot of environmental damage, and that can actively be undone through introducing mussels and things back into the ecosystem. That's just one particular thing that's really stuck with me for some reason.
So how come you managed to get through your undergrad degree without this thing that you were previously so passionate about?
I think it's been something that I had been passionate about at a younger age, but I guess I don't really see much of a career for myself in that space, or at least I hadn't. And that's not to say that I really see a career for myself in sustainability now, but I think I've recognized that it's an increasingly marketable and important skill to have for people going into business.
That's kind of a shame, isn't it? It's kind of a shame that something that as growing up you would see was important, but we're not able to produce it. We're not able to position it as a something that you can have a career in.
Maybe
that's an opportunity for us to get better at marketing.
Perhaps, yeah. I think you definitely could pursue a career in sustainability. Like, I think that's becoming an increasingly valid lifestyle to lead. I just don't think that it's something that I've particularly considered for myself.
Let's take the first of your music choices. Hold tight. Why this one?
So as we approach the sort of end of semester now, it's very busy, very stressful times for all of us students. The song Hold Tight by Shefu, it's one of those sort of songs, I guess, growing up that's always instilled in me a sense of sort of hope and perseverance. It always manages to sort of make me feel a bit better when I'm stressed out and busy with assignments.
Hold tight, I can see the skies are clear. and over. Papa, hold tight. If we do, then we will be okay. Okay. All the days keep passing. Myself, ooh, why am I still waiting when I know I can help in this war fought without machine gun fire? I can see the skies are clearing over. Sister, hold tight. I can see the skies have blown away. Mama, hold tight. I can see the skies are clearing over. Papa, hold tight. If we do, then we will be okay.
Michael, one of the things that I don't like about adulting is no one ever asks you anymore, what's your favourite dinosaur? So what is your favourite dinosaur?
Easy, Triceratops. That's been locked in since I was 3 years old. It's still there.
We are favourite dinosaur twins. Did you know that? That's so funny. I love that. That's so cool. So of all the things you've learned in your life, if you think about school, because you... Obviously, your mum asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? So you've learned some amazing stuff. You, from a young age, you were encouraged to think about what the future looks like. Who were your role models?
I'd say definitely my family. Although I come from a fairly small family, my role models growing up have definitely been my mum and my dad. They're very hardworking and accomplished people in their own regards. And also, I'd say my grandparents, like my granddad specifically, is someone that's close to me. He taught me how to play chess, and that's still been like an ongoing routine that I've had now that I've moved down to Dunedin. We'll hop on FaceTime and have a little game and sort of talk about life.
That is so good. We need those connections. In thinking about those role models and thinking about where you're at now and where you're headed, what do you think are the, what are the things that they role modeled specifically that you're going to take into your future?
I'd say, it's a difficult one. I'd say my dad has definitely helped to instill sort of a sense of work ethic and responsibility in me, which I'm very grateful for. I'd say my mum has also helped to sort of encourage me to be myself and express my, I guess, personality, and also She's a Pilates teacher currently, so she's been always on to me about stretching and flexibility, and I've always ignored it until I've got to my ripe age of 21 and started falling apart and realized that maybe she does know a lot more than me. I needed to listen to her.
Actually, stretching and flexibility has got so many different levels of meaning and benefit to us, eh? That is not just in the physical, but in our thinking, in our plans for the future, in so many levels. So I see you as a leader for the future. Not everybody who does a business degree is going to lead. Some people are very happy to be in the middle kind of levels of management, but I see you as a leader for the future. Of the things that have been modelled for you, what do you think you'll model in your own leadership practice?
Ooh, what do I think I will model in my own leadership practice? Well, it ties in quite well to my interview or my podcast topic, and that was on sustainable HRM. I think one of the key takeaways I had from that whole process was engaging with employees or people who are, I don't know, your peers or team members on an individual level, understanding their specific needs, their work styles. That's often a very the best, or maybe not the best, but it could be the best. I don't know. It's a very good way to promote the well-being of and the productivity of your team and yourself. Like, obviously, if everyone is being communicated with and being, sorry, I'm struggling to find the words here, but if everyone's being met where they are and given the support they need, that's how you get the best in return out of your employees or your team.
Oh, I like that, meeting people where they are. That is exactly beautiful. And actually, this is a good segue into your podcast. So who did you interview and why did you interview them?
So as soon, I think I brought it up in my interview itself, as soon as I heard that we had to interview someone from the local business community, my first thought was to interview somebody from the organization Startup Dunedin. Really cool little organization. I think I'm quite personally interested in the startup space, and I learned about their organization earlier this year, found them to be really, really cool. And so even during that lecture, I zoned out and immediately opened up a new tab on Google, went to Startup Dunedin, looked at their people, and then sent off a message on LinkedIn to their general manager and to their communications lead. And then, getting a little bit impatient, I just popped on down there myself and decided, you know what, I'm going to go and have a conversation with them myself and just make sure I can lock this in. And I ended up bumping into the exact person that I wanted to see, their communications lead, Mackenzie Delson. She was incredibly friendly and welcoming, and yeah, so she gave me a contact. I sent her an email. We went back and forth and got the interview done. It was a really cool experience. So I'm here today at Startup Dunedin, a lovely little organization on the bank of the Leith River, right by the business school and the Greggs factory. It's a nice day here today in Dunedin. Lots of clouds, but not quite as bad as the weekend. We had awful weather over the weekend, but it's nice today. So I only found out about Startup Dunedin. It's a really cool little organization. I found out about them last semester when I attended a youth enterprise workshop here in their space downstairs, and found it to be a really cool organization, did a little bit more research about them. And when the opportunity came up to make a podcast format interview talking about an issue in sustainable business with somebody from the local business community, my first thought was Startup Dunedin. So we're here in a nice little office that we got upstairs, and I'm joined today by Mackenzie Delson Chamberlain, their lovely communications lead. Mackenzie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So I am Mackenzie, or Kenzie if you're in a hurry, and I am the communications lead for Startup Needed. Professionally, my happy place is indeed in marketing and comms. What that means for me is I focus on storytelling. So how can I uplift, amplify, cheerlead the voices of Ōtiputi founders, tell their stories and champion their journeys, etc. And that's what else do other people and donors really need to know about? Maybe that's founders events, funding opportunities, etc. So I'm at my happiest when I'm strategizing the best way to do this.
Sure thing. Yeah. Sounds wonderful, Mackenzie. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about your journey today and how you've got to this role?
Yeah, sure thing. It's a pretty fun one to look back on for me. Because I actually came through Startup Dunedin first as a customer. I was starting my own digital marketing business at the time, and I enrolled in the old Co-Starters program, which is way back in the day. And it was sort of like the 101 style, how to learn what you need to know to start a business. That's how I got involved with Startup Dunedin, the organization. Before that, I'd only freshly started in marketing. It wasn't something that I formally studied. I just picked up like a little bit of on-the-job experience working for a law firm in Invercargill. The lawyer that I worked for at the time was quite cool and down with the youth, if you will. She was really interested in raising her profile digitally and locally and gave me the opportunity to do that, which was really fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we moved to Dunners in like 2019. My husband got a job here. He's an artist at Runaway Play in town. And I continued with my marketing business for a while. And I started as the marketing coordinator for Startup Dunedin literally just before the pandemic hit. Like, I think I got 2 weeks out of the job. It might have even been 1 week. I don't remember. But yeah, it was wild. I thought I'd be working on, you know, that classic sort of fun marketing, finding new customers and leads, building your profile. And it turned out to be, boom, immediately crisis comms.
Straight into COVID. Yeah, that's awful.
For real. So it has been described as a bit of a trial by fire. But honestly, I think it was good. I did discover that I'm actually really passionate about accessible language when it comes to communications. So being an outsider to the startup universe, for the most part, I still find myself asking those questions like, what is a cap table and what does growth hacking mean? Things like that. They're very useful when it comes to talking to the wider public. I'm more committed to de-jargonifying everything that we say, which wasn't something I expected to love when I first took that role.
No, it sounds like a really great approach. I think the startup space can be very, I guess, intimidating with a lot of the different jargon and stuff out there, and that's what I found very helpful about that workshop I attended. They sort of broke down things quite nicely, and they sort of said, look, these are a lot of the steps that you'd come to Startup Dunedin for. So I'd like to ask you, what would your happy place be, Mackenzie?
Well, professionally, it is working on that sort of storytelling and marketing, like traditional marketing stuff. I have a lot of fun with the creativity side of things here, and I really enjoy sort of strategizing on the best channels and the best way to find other, other customers and how to talk to people on their level. That's what I'd say professionally is my happy place. Non-professionally, my happy place at the moment, being 7 months hapu, mostly curled up on the couch we've got a Japanese spitz named Haku, my husband, and we're usually watching Naruto or playing D&D. So that's my happy place normally.
Congratulations, that sounds really wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good time.
So I'd like to shift the focus back to Startup Dunedin. I was very impressed with Startup Dunedin when I first found out about it and when I had the opportunity to interview someone from the local business community. My first thought was to pick someone from Startup Dunedin. So Mackenzie, I believe you're, as the communications lead, the optimal person to tell us a bit more about Startup Dunedin and how it got started here in Dunedin and the role that it plays in the local business community.
So Startup Dunedin is founded and funded by the DCC, the council, the Otago University, obviously, and the Otago Polytechnic. So they all three of whom have a common goal of helping Dunedin to grow and support new ventures. So we originally began as the Upstart Incubation Trust, which is quite a mouthful, over 20 years ago. So we have really been here for a hot minute. And we're mostly focused on helping to support startups in Dunedin to make Dunedin the world's most entrepreneurial small city. There's something that I feel like we're closer to with every passing year, which is really awesome. Yeah, so we're on our website, you might have seen part of our mission statement is we focus on making the startup journey easier by facilitating connections, capability, and community. Three things that are really important. And that's for everyone and anyone starting up here in Otipoti as well. So it doesn't matter like what stage you're at, what you're working on, what industry you're in, how much experience you have, we're here to help. Our goal is to be really accessible. So the front door for anyone starting or building something in Dunedin. You can actually just jump on our website, startupdunedin.nz, and book a free 15-minute meeting to help with your idea too, anytime you like. Even if it's just an idea, if it's a hobby you want to make money from or a side hustle. Yeah. And in terms of the wider, like the local business community, I think we're really blessed to be a part of that. There's something pretty unique and special about the connectedness and the willingness to help from the ecosystem. Like, I know Dunedin is small, but I think that tight-knit community makes that a bit of a strength, to be honest, more than a weakness. because yeah, everybody's sort of prepared to roll up their sleeves and help where they can, which I think is really nice.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the things I love the most about Dunedin as a small sort of tight-knit city.
Yeah.
I think that the role that Startup Dunedin plays is a really cool one. Mm. So bringing things to the topic of sustainability, Kenzie, I'd like to ask what sustainability might mean to you and what things you think might have shaped or changed that perspective over time.
Yeah, so sustainability within the startup world, it's a bit different. Obviously, it's not just about recycling or zero waste, two very important things, but it's about managing your business in a way that means that you can keep making an impact, and keep doing what you're doing long term. So if you're working on an impact-driven business, particularly one working on sustainability or in the sustainability sector, you really got to consider the practicality of your business model, like what actions, funding, research, strategies, etc., that you can put in place to help you do the most good, and the most good for the longest. So I am a millennial, so I do come from that sort of starry-eyed cohort of folks who can sometimes view financial sustainability as maybe less important, deprioritize it compared to the do-good mission. But working in the startup sector, I've come to realize that you really can't do one without the other. You know, you need their financial sustainability to help you with the mission in the first place. We're really lucky because we've met some super amazing businesses over the years that model sustainability really well and really intelligently. Coral Cone, you might have heard of, a local startup producing really high quality menstrual cups. And their mahi was born, founder Yvette Shum, her journey volunteering for a project in a coral reef in a small group of islands in Indonesia. And so she was up close and saw the impact of that plastic waste firsthand. And her solution to period waste has, as of last year, I believe, has prevented more than 15 tons of plastic from period products entering the environment, which is just awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's been so, so fun to watch from our end. So, yeah, helping to support businesses like that has been, yeah, really great to watch.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be a pretty fulfilling thing to do.
Yeah, for real.
So sustainability can be a pretty broad topic, all things considered. I'd like to hone in on one specific facet of what academics might talk about in the sustainability sphere, and that is sustainable HRM. Now, in his 2022 article, Sustainable Human Resource Management, Six Defining Characteristics, Robin Cremar states that sustainable HRM is a means of personnel management that aims to facilitate not only profit, but also socially beneficial outcomes. Now, this is one of the key ideas that got me really excited about doing an interview here at Startup Dunedin. Kenzie, would you be able to tell us about some of the cool socially beneficial work Startup Dunedin is doing in the local business community?
Yeah, that's some of the work that I find the most exciting as well. I think plugging in with those local supports, like, for example, the Dunedin City Council's Waste Minimization Innovation Grants, which are currently open, by the way, just as a side note for anybody working on waste in Dunedin.
The more you know.
Yeah, always worth looking into. That has been really key for us. So yeah, just getting to work with heaps of amazing founders that are doing like fascinating stuff within the sustainability sector too. Not just Coral Cone, but like we've worked alongside people like the team behind the Dunedin Craft Distillers, if you know them. They brew those small batches of New Zealand gin, vodka, etc., spirits from surplus bread that would otherwise have gone to waste. It's so cool. So they got this like amazing circular economy distillery right here in Waterkoti. I believe they've been going since 2020 as well. So they have saved literally tons of food waste so far, which is awesome. And I think that other founders working on sustainability in Dunedin, they can see these examples and these case studies and think, oh, there is actually support out there for me. You know, it's not just, it's people do care about sustainability in Dunedin, which is awesome. For example, like Startup Dunedin can talk to you about what you're working on, where you want to take things, connect you with the right people, whether that is somebody like the City Council or maybe some other startup support systems locally and nationally, programs and things like that. Another new example of this support would be this year's microgrants program, where we awarded like smaller cash injections, like $100, $200, $500 to people working on really cool stuff around Dunedin. We were able to connect with lots of different communities, and we got like a really diverse range of projects and people looking for that support. The support was, of course, like not just financial, but part of it is, I think, having somebody in the community tell them, like, hey, keep going. Like, we think this is worth supporting. This is good mahi that you're doing here. And I think it gives them that boost of confidence and motivation as well to keep pursuing their goals. Like, we saw everything from, we had a youth-led production company in there, a Tongan food business, digital platform to help families access disability support. The variation was just awesome to see. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful how many different small businesses and socially beneficial things you can do within the community from an organizational perspective. I think those small cash injections sound really useful. Like, it's a specific niche that you might not otherwise get served. And like, if you're someone with a business idea, you want to go out and do something, it'd be harder to get that sort of initial little bump there.
Yeah, that's the first hurdle, right? It's like, what can we do to help them move the needle just a little bit so that they can keep going and maybe find some bigger traction down the road?
I think you also mentioned that Dunedin startup, or the Dunedin startup, the Dunedin Craft Distillery.
Yeah.
That place is quite cool. I've met some of them along at the Dunedin Farmers Market, another lovely little local business thing every Saturday morning down by the train station.
Yeah, they're awesome down there. Yeah,
So another one of the academic pieces I read was a study of work engagement and satisfaction in the practice of sustainable human resources management. They found that one of the key tenets of sustainable HRM compared to other schools of thought in personnel management is the prioritization of the employee as a crucial resource of the organization. Now, from my understanding from the outside, it seems like Startup Dunedin can be a really cool organization to be a part of. And I'm wondering if you could touch on some of your work experience and perhaps the work-life balance here at Startup Dunedin.
Yeah, very interesting question. Startup Dunedin is a fantastic place to work if work-life balance is a priority to you. So we're a small team, two full-timers and then three part-timers at the moment, I believe, four. But we're all very, very connected. We work flexibly as well. Like, just an example with me being pregnant right now, you can imagine every now and then I need to adjust my hours during the day. And that being able to do that is so helpful. Being able to work from home sometimes, do a little bit in the evenings or the early mornings, that's really massive. And as well as that, I think it helps to just consider each other's working style too, like not just in terms of hours, but how you work together. How do you like to receive feedback? Like, what do you need to feel supported at work and to get the best out of you and your team? That's something that our general manager, Rachel, is really good at. Each person is different, right? That's the thing. Each person's best, I think, is found using different approaches. Treating every single person the exact same isn't actually always equitable. I think finding a way to get equal outcomes for everybody is really key. But I'm a neurodivergent person. The way that I work can be confusing. And it has been confusing to previous managers and co-workers in the past. It's that kind of like, why are you doing it like this thing? In my head, the color-coded spreadsheet with 167 rows, it makes perfect sense. And it can make you burn out quickly when your working style is not understood or supported. Or worse, like, they see it in bad faith as some kind of either overworking or underworking. And I've never really felt that at Startup Dunedin. They're really, really accessible. They allow me like space to deep dive into things, like have deep work time. But there'll be enough checks and balances in place with the team to make sure I'm not letting other things fall through the cracks at the same time. Doing well, or, you know, at least keeping your head above water at your job is the best way to feel job satisfaction, in my opinion. Like, you can, you know, you feel like you're not doing a terrible job. That means you're not ruminating when you clock off for the day. You can go home, you know, walk your evil little dog and not spend the whole time stressed out about work. You can be really present, and I think that matters.
Cool. Yeah, I wanted to ask about what you think would be an important takeaway for managers or organizations looking to get the best out of their employees.
I would say just making sure that you tailor your management style to their working style. Obviously, there will have to be compromises along the way there, but I think it is really important to understand that you can't fit a square peg in a round hole.
It's so true.
You know, like, you can't force someone's brain to work in a way that it just can't work. And it's not because somebody doesn't want it to. I know a lot of my friends are also neurodivergent, have ADHD or autism, and a lot of the struggles that we've learned along the way is come directly from us trying so hard to do things the way that everyone else does. And that just isn't the best way to approach it. So you're not going to get the best out of people if you expect everybody to behave the same way within reason.
Mm. Wonderful. And just to wrap up, I've got one final question for you, Kenzie. Mm-hmm. What is one simple thing you think people can do to live more sustainably?
Literally be sustainable about your sustainability. In my opinion, there is no use adopting habits or lifestyle changes or business practices that you cannot keep up long term. It has to work for you or you literally just won't do it, because let's be fair, motivation is fickle. And is there, like, you got to think, is there something that might be lower effort that you can do 100 times instead of just the once? And that's something, it might feel smaller or less significant, but it's better to do something smaller if it means you can do it long term and more consistently. You know, don't burn yourself out trying to be perfect, because obviously no one is. No person and no business, no one is perfect.
That's so true. I think it is very wise to be able to keep putting that foot, one foot in front of the other, rather than trying to sprint all the way to the finish and do something big and burn yourself out. Or I think you touched on earlier, it's important for businesses to be able to operate sustainably.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And be able to keep going.
Yeah, keep the long term in mind, I think, is really important.
So yeah, well, thank you very much for your time today, Kenzie. It's been wonderful interviewing you.
Hey, sweet.
It's been great to hear more about Startup Dunedin and the wonderful role that they play here in the Dunedin business community. So yeah, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, thanks, dude.
Michael, I'm still, my head is still with where you were talking about meeting people where they are. That is just such a big and important approach in leadership. Can you talk us through that? What does that mean to you, and how will you apply it in your practice?
Ooh, so I think Mackenzie put it quite well in our interview. It's understanding that not everyone's needs or work styles are going to be different. And it's about understanding and accommodating to each person individually. I think she gave an example of having like a massive spreadsheet with 137 rows and different colors that make sense to her, but may not make sense to somebody else. And it's about letting people work in the ways that are going to enable them to do the work productively and on their own terms. Now, obviously, you can't just let everyone maybe like slack off or not deliver. Like if I say, oh, my best work practice is actually sleeping until 4 p.m., showing up for 4 to 5 and then going home. No, it's about trusting people with the responsibility to work in their own way. And I think that's sort of a two-way street. Obviously, if you entrust people with the responsibility to work and do things on their own terms, they in turn are more incentivized to actually deliver good outcomes and uphold their end of the bargain also.
This is it's interesting, because I have just had this kind of big epiphany yesterday. I was talking to my boss, and I had this real sudden realization that for the first time in my whole professional life, and I'm 54, so I'm a lot older than you, 54 years old as of yesterday, and I suddenly realized that for the first time in my life, I have a leader who meets me where I am, who takes me with all my quirks and all my funny things and knows my strength and totally lets me work to my strengths. And man, does it make a big difference in your life and how you feel about your work.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things we touched on in the interview as well. One of the most important things is being able to feel competent and like you're doing well in your role. And often if you sort of try and fit a square peg into a round hole, that person might often end up feeling unmotivated or like they aren't meeting the standard, and that only serves to further burn out individuals. Now if you let people work in the ways that are going to be suitable for them, they can deliver better outcomes, feel more confident in their role, and experience greater well-being, not only in the role but outside of the role. I think Mackenzie gave the example of, you know, when you feel like you're able to do well in your job, that leads to greater satisfaction and well-being outside of work. When you clock out, you can go home and go, oh yeah, I've done a good job today, and I can feel satisfied, rather than just sort of mulling it over in your head of, oh, you know, maybe I didn't understand the boss's memo well enough, maybe I didn't do this or that.
So that comes down to two really important things, which are relationships and communication style. So how do we cultivate that? Because if we think about everybody as working on a different level, what's a great kind of, how do you approach someone? Is it that you as the leader just have to have like this really cool foundation knowledge of so many different leadership styles and communication styles so you can recognize the values of another person, or do you map it? Is that the best way? How would you do it?
Ooh, so I think this reminds me of something else I've learned earlier this semester. I can't remember if it was in our paper on contemporary issues in sustainable business, or if it was in, it might have been in one of my other papers on international business. We at the start of the semester, I think it was in international business, we had a meeting where we sort of discussed our collective understandings of things like time and punctuality
Well, that's
and
so
respect
good.
and respect in the classroom. And that's something we've been covering, and we've been doing presentations on expatriation and different cultures to work in, where often different cultures or different backgrounds lead to different understandings of things that we may take for granted, like time or punctuality. It's often understood differently in different environments. So I think one of the things that I took away from one of the recent lectures was when starting with a new and diverse team, often you can sit down and just with your team and say, hey, we're going to discuss all of our different backgrounds and our different understandings of these things that may be important for working together. And we're going to, together as a group, come up with a collective sort of definition of this is how we're going to work together.
Well, that is really that. See, that to me, that is future thinking. That's thinking for a successful team, foundation stuff. I like that a lot, Michael. And is that going to, do you think that that will underpin your practice going forward?
I very much hope so. I think it's something that I have thought about a lot personally. Like often when it comes to uni especially, I will kind of just get through things, and a lot of things can be in one ear, out the other. But I've found at this master's level, I've had a lot of those little sort of takeaways that have kind of stuck with me.
Michael, my brain is going back to the beginning of the interview when you talked about your mum's suggestion that you take this program, and how so the insight, her insight into who you are as a person, and the value of that. And that is, do you think that that's missing from a lot of kids these days, like that insight from parents into who our kids are? Like, is there a disconnect? Are you noticing that amongst your peers, or are all of you getting these great insights from parents on the way forward?
Ooh, I'm not 100% certain, but I think it definitely could be something that is missing or becoming increasingly rare. I am very cognizant of the fact that I think I've got two really incredible parents. I think especially growing up and when I was a teenager, sometimes it felt like my mum or my parents would know me better than I'd know myself. Like I'd come home and I thought the world's ending, everything's awful, and my mum's like, "Nope, you're just hungry. Have some food." And I still find myself like that to this day. I'll be completely like, oh, I think just even a day or yesterday, even I was working on a big assignment and I just could not seem to make any progress, and I just got more and more and more frustrated. And often when I get in a state like that, the world around me does not exist. I need to sit down and just solve whatever problem I'm on, and I can become a little bit evil to those around me, And I think looking back on it, I realized I had a tiny little breakfast. I was delaying lunch because I just wanted to get through what I was doing, and actually sitting down and eating a big meal and coming back to it a few hours later or later in the day, it clicked.
Yeah, feed your brain. Feed
I'm
your
going
brain,
to,
Michael.
we're going to feed our brain with some music. Let's squeeze in Phoenix Foundation, Buffalo.
Thank you.
questions to end the show. What's the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
Ooh, biggest success. I'd say maybe the graduating with my Bachelor of Commerce earlier this year. I think that was a big success for me. I faced a few little setbacks along the way, like I got 99% of the way through my bachelor's degree, and I think like the day before my final exam, my one last economics exam to get through my bachelor's, I suffered a pretty bad lumbar sprain and was barely able to get up out of bed. And I went, there's no way I'm going to be able to walk all the way into uni and sit there in a chair and do this 3-hour exam. I'm in excruciating pain and I can barely stand. And so I had to get an extension or an alternate date for the exam, and that ended up being in March. And so I faced a lot of sort of setbacks, had to redo all of the study. I didn't really know what I was going to be doing, but I've sort of got on the right track, ended up in this master's program, got through that exam, got a good enough grade to get properly accepted into the master's program. So it was a very chaotic time, but it's all sort of worked out, and I've walked out with my bachelor's there.
What is your superpower?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would have to say my superpower is adaptability. I found that across my life, I have done many different things. I've been very interested or involved in a lot of different things. And I found that because of it, I'm very able or very capable of learning new things or picking up new skills or hobbies. And I think that can help foster a sense of confidence in yourself, knowing that whatever situation you're going to be plonked in, you're going to find a way to get through it and get out the other side even better.
Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. I think, given the definition of the word activist, I don't think I would be, because I think in its definition that would maybe entail actively going out and campaigning or things of that nature. And I think it reminds me of something we talked about earlier in this interview. Often people may not have the time or capacity to do so in our current world. I think that's one of the kind of sadder things of our time. Like, I wish I could be more involved in politics, but you know, I'm a busy uni student, you know, trying to get through a full-time master's and working a couple of part-time jobs to pay the rent. Often people who are incredibly busy may not have the same capacity to go out and engage in the things that are meaningful to them.
What challenge or opportunity are you looking forward to in the next year or so?
Ooh, so actually I'm set to move back up to Auckland and finish up my master's project up there and then look for work. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge/opportunity for me. It's kind of a bit of a fresh start, where thus far in my life I've had a sort of sense of structure of, you know, high school, bachelor's, master's, and now it's kind of like, okay, you're adulting big time now, you're in the big leagues. I'm quite excited to see, I guess, how work and how career progresses over the coming years and where I end up.
And when you have to move back to Auckland, you'll be able to remember what it was like living in Dunedin, and that'll keep you smiling.
Definitely. I think I'll always look back on Dunedin pretty fondly. I'm kind of sad to leave this place. It's become my home over the last 4 years.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Any advice for our listeners? Go and enjoy the sunlight. It's wonderful, wonderful weather we can have here in Dunedin, and especially today it's really nice and sunny, and I'm spending all of it in the library working on assignments. So take the most of good things that come your way when they're available to you.
Indeed. Moira.
Michael, it has been wonderful having you in our class this semester. Thank you for your contribution to the overall, the knowledge base, the willingness to share, the encouraging other people to share. Your perspectives have been really positive, and I just have really appreciated your voice in the class. I look forward to seeing where you go from here. I think you're going to be a stellar leader for the future. And I think that your mum and dad, if I could give them a high five, I would. So this is a virtual high five to Michael's mum and dad. Good work, parents.
Thank you very much, Moira. I'm sure they'll really appreciate that.
Alrighty, we are going out. I don't know if you noticed that Moira, about halfway through this interview, reminded us that it was her birthday yesterday. So we're going out to Pet Shop Boys, Birthday Boy. With people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic and the University of Otago. Thank you for their support. We are broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. We were joined by Michael Booth, who brought us his contribution for Coming Up for Air. And his discussion with Mackenzie Chamberlain from Startup Dunedin. With Mawira Karatai, I'm Samuel Mann. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Mate wai.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.